To Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out this tab on the on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for visiting with us today. Pastor Otero continues to recover after the surgery on his jaw, and we're hopeful that he'll be able to return here to be with us next Sunday. So please pray for the complete healing will occur soon. But in God's providence, we again today are blessed to have Pastor Jack Van Dyken lead us in worship and prayer and to bring our attention and focus on God's Word. Pastor Van Dyken I hope I'm not giving any secrets away here, he's what we'd call a war hero. And better than that, however, he's been called to preach the whole counsel of God. And he does just that. And we are indeed grateful that he can be with us again today. Pastor's text this morning is taken from the 21st chapter of John's Gospel. Now, you'll note in your bulletin that Russell Goodman will be conducting the 2 p.m. service at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon. And Daniel Lacey will be giving a missionary report on his ministry at the 5 p.m. service. So we hope that you're able to attend. Please remember that our quarterly congregational business meeting is scheduled for next Sunday, September 16th, directly following the morning worship service. Concerning our Bible distribution program, we'll soon be moving ahead with distributing Bibles in our local community, and this is in obedience to Jesus commissioning us to bring the gospel to every creature. So we hope you're able to participate. If you are in the distribution of God's Word, then please sign up on the sheet in the kitchen on the bulletin board. Our scripture reading for the month of September is from Psalm 28, verse 7, which is printed in your bulletin. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Let us begin our worship with the singing of the hymns printed in your bulletin. The first hymn is number 55, Come Christians, Join to Sing.
Christ our King, hallelujah,
As we continue our worship, please turn to hymn number 67, How Can It Be? Please stand now for the singing of hymn number 63, Take the Name of Jesus With You.
seated. Let us pray. Everlasting, sovereign, glorious God and Father, what a privilege it is to be able to be separated from that world in which we live, to be with thy people this day. What a glorious thing it is that thou hast established thy church, and thy church, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We thank thee for Bethel Church and for our pastor, Dr. Otero. We thank thee for our pianists. We thank thee for each one of the choir members, for those who take care of all of the various things pertaining to the broadcast, for the elders of the church and the deacons of the church, for the teachers of the Sunday school, and on, for each one of the members of this church. We pray also, O Lord, thy blessing upon those who are our visitors. We pray that they may see in us Christ living, but in thy word may see the only hope in life and death for them. We thank thee, Lord, that as we go on to the air, there are people throughout our area that will hear the message of salvation. We can only give it. Thou, O Lord, dost open the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And so we would ask our Father at the goodness of thy mercy that yet there may be some who can be saved to thy glory and praise. We thank thee, our God, for all the blessings that we have, for everyday life, for the good things that we have, for a father, mother in a family, for husband and wife, for children, for grandparents, and for all those, our God, who are part of the family of the family and also a family of the church. We pray thy blessing upon those of our congregation who are ill. We think of them and we realize, our God, that it is not easy for them to stay away from church. They would much rather be here with God's people worshiping, because here we receive the joy of salvation. Here we receive the Christian fellowship by which we can grow spiritually. And here we can come to hear the testimony of the Word of God in all of its glory and all of its simplicity and all of its beauty. Open our hearts, our God, as thy word is proclaimed. And we pray, Father, thy blessing upon it. We pray also thy blessing upon our pastor, Dr. Otero. We thank thee for him, God. We thank thee, Lord, that in the midst of so many problems in some of the situations of family radio, that we may still find in him that God has the answer to every problem in life. We thank thee that we may have such a man of God. We pray thy blessing upon him as far as his health is concerned, so that he may be able to have complete recovery and through all of the pain and suffering that he goes through. We thank thee, our God, for our pastor. And we thank thee for his wife. So important for a pastor to have a wife that backs her husband, that is part of the program of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the church and to all the world. And so we thank thee for her too, and for all of thy people. Bless, we pray, each one to thy name's honor, glory, and praise. And may all of our sins be forgiven, not because of our merit, but only because of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Your tithes and offerings will be received.
Thank you, choir. Would you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 14 through 25. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 638. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. John 21, verses 14 through 25. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Joseph, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus said, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the great mercy that you have shown us, that we can say with the apostle what manner of love you have bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. We pray for our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that his healing would be soon complete, that he might resume the ministry to which you called him. We ask, Father, that by your Spirit you would keep us focused on the task at hand and bless the work you have given us. Grant that which our Lord Jesus Christ has commanded. Particularly, we now ask this of the efforts to distribute Bibles in this community. We pray now for your servant, our friend, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, as he comes to expose your word, that you would bless him and bless the hearers with understanding, and that this teaching would have profitable application in our lives. We pray also for any listening who do not know you, that they would not remain in unbelief, and you would save them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's message is entitled, The Third Mile. Last Sunday in the evening, I preached on the second mile. And this whole concept of the first and second mile is a thing that has come over from even in the days of Christ. When it was expected, as Jesus said, if your friend asks for your girdle, give him not only the girdle, but also your cloak. And if he asks you to go with him 1 mile, then go with him twain. And so we find that the idea of the second mile is something that is very biblical. And we may even use it today. It's a way of saying we go above and beyond the necessity of the rules of the law of life and of goodness and of the proper proper way of being as a Christian. Let's read at our text, which we find in our scripture that was John, the 21st chapter, the 14th verse. Let me read that. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Our message from God's word portrays loving forgiveness. How wonderful it is, and understanding of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who was Lord of lords, King of kings, God above all, was one who was loving and caring enough for an individual, for one person. And how prevalent that is for us, and how much up to date it is for us, because when we approach the throne of grace, we come just as one person. Or if we have hurts and problems and troubles and we pray to him, it's one person. But God is interested in one person. And that's so vital and important for each one of us here and those who are also listening in on the radio. One person, and it happened to be Peter. And here the Son of God listens to his problem. In our the risen Savior, and this occurred, our scripture is from after Christ had risen and has just before he ascended to heaven. The risen Savior, heaven bound, and though he had finished his work of salvation totally, when on the cross he said, "It is finished," now had something else to do. And the glorious thing is that our Savior Jesus Christ has something else to do in heaven today. He is our mediator, Scripture tells us. He is a go-between between us and the Father in heaven. And what a glorious and wonderful realization is concerned. Now, as we look at our Scripture, we want to go back a little bit to something that was happened before. And we're going to talk about Peter being restored. But let's look back just a little ways to what happened. Peter was asked when Jesus was being tried in the house of the high priest, "Aren't you one of those who belong to Jesus Christ?" And only a little damsel, a young girl, a child, hardly, asked this question. And Jesus says that then, or our scripture tells us that Peter says, "I know this man not." The second time, one of the maids of the high priest asked him, "We can tell by your language." And he said, "Well, I don't know who you're talking about," when they talked about Jesus Christ. And then the third time, one of the servants of the high priest asked Peter again and accused him, and others were listening, and Peter was afraid for his life. And he said, and what Scripture tells us, and it tells us about cursing, that he denied again, cursing. Can you imagine that, Peter? Cursing. He had just made all kinds of promises to our God. And yet we see that though as prominent and what a special man Peter was as far as the disciples, he was the first to say something great about Jesus Christ. He was the first to blurt out whether he had thought about it or not. Whenever the apostles were together with Jesus, it was Peter that spoke. But Peter also spoke three times when he should have said the right thing. This had been the weak point in the apostles' life. Can you imagine that, the weak point in the apostles' life? Oh, but we look forward, of course, to the greatest day. I would say, Peter's great day of his life. And that was when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost Sunday, and he proclaimed that glorious message where thousands, by the grace of God, were converted and they were saved. How wonderful. But let's look at something that happened before that. There was a weak point even in good Apostle Peter. And you know what that says to us Christians? That we also have weak points. We would think of a man who was an apostle and one of the prominent ones in a certain sense, and a great preacher later on, that surely he would be the very greatest of all Christians and would not fall into any kind of sin. But the glorious thing is God tells us all about this. You know, if I was to write the Bible, and I've said this so many times, I'd leave out some of these embarrassing things about God's people. I would have, in the Old Testament, I would have left out that part about David sinning because he was a man after God's own heart, and so much was involved with David and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now with Peter, I would have left this out, but this is God's word, and God tells it the way it is, and we need to know that, and it's so vital, and it's so important, and that's why when we preach about sin, that's what the Bible talks about, and then when we preach about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that is also what God talks about, and so we get to the point of the thing. After Peter had fallen into the sin of answering these three questions the way he had, Scripture says he went out and wept bitterly, bitterly. The very heart of Peter seemed to come out, and he felt that he had lost the greatest thing in all the world, his Savior. He had said when they were on the Mount of Olives that, well, if anybody comes to take you away like you have prophesied and which you have told us, I have a sword and I will fight for you. And yet he did the exact opposite later on. But this same Peter loved the Lord. And Jesus questions Peter now. And notice there are three questions Jesus asks him. He had denied Christ three times. Now, three questions. And we read in the 15th through the 17th verses of 21st chapter of John. So when they had denied, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, dost thou love me? And he said again to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, said Peter. And then for the third time, he said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, Scripture says. Why does Jesus have to ask him three times? And yet it seems to harmonize with the three times that Peter had denied his Lord. Lovest thou me more than these? We have a serious question here as we look at this. And it's important that we look at the Greek at this particular point. You see, preachers are trained individuals. In most seminaries, they have you learn both Hebrew and Greek. I had spent 3 years studying Greek. Hebrew and 7 years Greek, and so Greek is a language that it's not my second language by a long way, but I can understand it and see what it says, and I'm thankful to God for good seminaries like the one that I went to and also the one that Dr. Otero went to. So we have a serious question here. Peter answers, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. Jesus asks Peter with the stronger word in the Greek, agapeo, and which signifies true love, agapeo. And Peter answers with the weaker Greek word and for love, which was phileo, which is more like I have affection for you, Jesus. What a difference from what Christ asked him. And Jesus asked Peter the second time with the same question, and he gets the same answer, phileo, I admire you very much. Peter had been so quick to answer before. He had been so quick to have the realization that he could speak, and he was sure of what he had to speak. And you know, Christians, now he was humbled. And that's there for us in God's Word to realize that there are high points in our life and there are low points in our life. But God does not forget us. God does not leave us. Jesus is still there. And if there's someone out in the radio area listening to us now and wonders if God can even forgive them, I've talked with some of them. I've said, no, there's no use of living. When I worked for Modesto Psychiatric Center as a therapist there, a Christian therapist, they gave me all of the Christians that came in, and some of them came in wanting to commit suicide because they had sinned so terrible and that God had forgiven them. They had sinned the unpardonable sin, and we talked about God's wonderful love. No, God loves you through everything if you are His child, and what a glorious and wonderful thing it is. And so we look at Peter. Jesus asks him twice, and he answers again with phileo. Yeah, I have a great admiration for you. And then Jesus asks him the question. And then Jesus changes the word. Peter, do you admire me? Oh, what a thing to say to Peter, that great and wonderful man of God. Peter said unto him, although it all shall be offended, yet will I not. He had sinned this before, but he had been offended. However, Peter is going to be forgiven. Jesus forgives Peter with the command, feed my lambs. You know, that's the wonderful thing. Jesus tells us that he forgives us, but then he gives us work to do, which is the most glorious work of all. And he says, first of all, feed my lambs. Feed the little ones. Sunday school teachers, you have heard the command of Christ, and you are obedient to it. And if any of you or people that are listening to us do not send their children to Sunday school, come to Bethel Baptist Church on Morgan Hill, and that's where there are dedicated teachers who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who understand what Jesus means when he said, feed my lambs. But that also comes to you and I who are mothers and fathers. We need to feed these lambs, not just with the temporal food, which is vital and important. The world takes children away from families and mothers and fathers sometimes a little ruthlessly because they're not feeding them physically. How much more important it could be if the church could take these children that are not being fed spiritually. But that isn't the way it goes. But the question still comes out, what shall I do? And Jesus says, feed my lambs. But then he also said, feed my sheep. And so that means all the rest of us. It is a job for you, Peter. You've denied me. You've shown yourself to be weak. Peter, I am going to give you the greatest job that any man can have, and that is to proclaim the message of salvation. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Peter could not have heard anything more blessed, more wonderful. And for you and for me, Jesus comes and says that same thing to us. Feed my sheep. Not just the Sunday school teachers, but each mother and father, each big brother and each big sister. Feed my lambs. And to each one of us, the word is, feed my sheep. That's the use of a church. And that's why we have churches, that here we can get together and hear the word of God proclaimed in all of its beauty and all of its glory. And the church of Christ shall stand forever, because even the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Inquisitive Peter, Lord, and what shall I do then? Another thing that happened in the latter part of our scripture reading, you notice that John is there, the Apostle John is there, and Jesus said that, well, maybe you'll live until I return. And then Peter says, well, how about this man? Is that really true? Is he going to live that long? In other words, what Peter was asking, Jesus, tell me, when are you coming back? And Jesus gave the answer that every one of us need to remember, and every preacher and every individual that thinks he's a prophet or whatever he thinks he is better remember, that Jesus says, Peter, that's none of your business. Just feed my people. And that's been my work as a pastor. And that's your work as a Christian. And everyone that speaks the word of God, we must remember, you don't have to look into the future or into a ball of some type or something that gives you a way to tell the future. That's God's business. And I'm so glad that it is. Because Jesus gave the example which spoke about this various thing when his disciples had asked at one point, when are you going to return? And he says, you know, and he gave this story of the man who had a business or a farm. And he says, I'm going to go away for a while. And they said, when will you come back? He said, I don't know, but just keep working until I come back. And look out if when he comes back, you're not working. And that's why there will be no warning coming before Christ comes, because he'll come on the clouds of glory. And all of the world will open up and a myriad of angels will be there. So people all over the world will see that the Lamb of God has returned. But you see, I'm glad that he doesn't tell us when, because he wants us just to keep working. That's our job. Feed my lambs. Inquisitive Peter. Lord, what shall this man do? And Christ lets Peter know, where he says, Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And then Jesus says, feed my lambs again. Feed my sheep. Now, in addition to these commands, Jesus said also, follow me. Follow me. You can't feed the lambs. You can't feed the sheep unless you follow Jesus Christ. That's the main and essential point. And oh, how vital it is when we study God's word to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to realize that he's the only hope in this world, in a world which is hopeless. The world is hopeless. In all of its ingenuity and all of the latest techniques of science and so on. But the world is in a hopeless situation. Constantly, there is a threat of world war. They don't tell you that, but when I was in Korea a few weeks ago visiting my son, who is the chaplain in the military there, he said, we are on the edge of it all because we can expect a fight any time by the North Koreans, and then the others will come in, and all these things will happen. But that's the physical preparedness. But God speaks to you and me about the spiritual preparedness, and that is know his word, study his word, go to Bible studies, be in church. You can't just get it at home. You need to be at church to be with God's people, because we need that Christian fellowship. How wonderful it is as you sit in the pew and you hear these people next to you singing God's praises, and you just hear them declaring to all the world that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes in contrast to what you hear if you're in the everyday world in which we live. We need the comfort of God's house. We need the comfort of God's people. And that's why we have a church, and how wonderful it is. Peter, I'll take care of the future, said Jesus. Just follow me. And so we come to what we call Peter's great moment. Pointing others to Christ Jesus. Telling them of their sins. He looked, we read in Acts, the second chapter, this is the beginning of that Pentecost sermon, Acts, the second chapter, the 23rd verse. And ye, him, and that speaks about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. This is what Peter dared to say now. He pointed the finger at the Sadducees and at the Pharisees and the rulers of the Jews and said, the load is on you. You are sinners. He wasn't afraid. Oh, Christians, it makes no difference what your past is. Just listen to what Jesus said. Follow me. And he listened to what he says. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And it's not just to preachers, it's to each one of us. And that's the great privilege. I consider it the greatest privilege on earth to be able to be a preacher and to bring God's word in all of its clarity and all of its truth and all of its veracity. but you have the same thing. You are preachers each day, wherever you go, wherever you are. I find one of the joys, and I perhaps have said this to you, but it's such a continual thing. I love that those little babies. Oh, there's something that God has created, that little one, and it's so beautiful. It doesn't say very much except coos a little bit and cries a little bit. And then I stop people in Walmart. I stop them wherever they are, and they don't mind this old gentleman here stopping and saying, "What a darling little baby you have. Oh, what a sweetheart. Do you take good care of him?" "Oh, yes." And then comes the preacher's question, "Do you take it to church? Do you take that one to church?" And I get various answers. I get some beautiful answers where the smile comes on their face. "Yes, we take it to church." And I said, "Well, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?" And they said, "Yes." "Thank you, Lord. Gave you another good opportunity." And it was a little child that gave me the opportunity. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. This happens to be this preacher's way of doing it. And I love it because I love to talk about Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior, who is your Lord and Savior too, who is the one who is willing to take those of us who are weak, even weak, denying Peter, told it the way it was and pointed out to him, to those at the Pentecost sermon, that they are sinners and they're going to hell. And that's the message of salvation. Oh, it's so nice to just say, "Oh, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you live good and give good and do things, then you'll be ushered into heaven." Oh, there are people that love that. They walk out and say to the highly robed pastor at the door, "Thank you, Pastor. Oh, thank you for leading me to hell." Because that's what it is, unless they say, "You're a sinner. You're a sinner dressed up in that beautiful clothes in this great cathedral, this wonderful church. You're a sinner." And unless he proclaims that message, he's not talking about what Jesus wants us to talk about. No, it's a common, ordinary thing, like Peter said in that great sermon. You are sinners. And that's terrible, of course, in its essence, when we are told. And it begins right on the pulpit. It begins with the preacher or the professor in the seminary or whoever it might be. It begins there, a sinner. No hope of him in himself. All of the good he may do. I've had people say to me, and some of my neighbors who don't go to church in spite of it seeing me get dressed up every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock and get in that old car of mine and drive down here or wherever I have to go, and they'll say, "Oh, you're such a good man. God surely must love you." No! God doesn't love me because I'm a good man, because if he went by that, I'd go to hell. God loves me because Christ, his Son, died for me. Died for me. Let's make this personal. Let's understand that Jesus, because he was all-knowing, Jesus, who before the foundation of the world, Scripture says in Ephesians, the first chapter, the fourth verse, that he chose us to be his own. This is election and predestination. And he, God gave him all of those whom he had chosen. And so he said, "I have to die for them." But that chosen, what meant person by person, baby, boy, girl, mama, daddy, grandfather, grandmother, by person. And when he died on the cross, he didn't die for a glop of humanity. Very personally, he took my sin with all of its horror and all of its denial and all of its depth and yours, and said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. I did it for my people. I did it for everyone that believes and trusts in Jesus Christ who is saved." What a glorious thing. We hear about Peter. This is the third mile that Jesus went. The first mile, of course, was when he met with all of his disciples. And Thomas wasn't there. The second mile that we spoke on last week was when Christ came to be with his disciples the second time after the resurrection, and there was Thomas. And Thomas said, I won't believe unless I can touch his hands. And Jesus said when he finished, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. And you, dear friend, believe in the bottom of your heart because Jesus Christ is very real. And he came to suffer and to die for you and me because we are his children. Jesus had corrected Peter, but he also restored him. And when he restored him, he gave him a job. And whoever you are, wherever you are, outside of Christ, when Christ takes a hold of you and changes your heart and life, it's not just to be a good person. Oh, that's part of it, because you love him, you serve him, but you are another one of those who restored and then are given the greatest privilege on earth. The angels couldn't even have this privilege. Oh, the angels couldn't. They'd love to. The angels would love to go into groups and preach, and they could outdo Schuller and all the rest of them. But he sent you and me because it's the greatest privilege in the world to talk about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We can talk about other things that we can be ashamed of or maybe not so proud of. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, you're talking about the very top, the very best, the only God, the only true God, the only way of salvation. And that's your privilege and it's mine. The results of Pentecost Sunday were wonderful. Not that Peter was such a wonderful preacher, which he was, of course. But the results of the fact that Peter began to feed my babies, your little children, and then the adults and the aged people. That was Peter's job. And so Peter spoke from the depth of his heart, but at the depth of his knowledge of Jesus Christ, whom he loved and served. And there's not one here in this audience today or who are listening on the radio, that if they love the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not shun from the privilege of being a representative of his. We're going to be handing out Bibles in our area here, giving them out free of charge, because you as God's people want to do this. And that's the first way. But don't just hand them a Bible, say, here, and they'll slam. No, 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 no. Say, let me tell you. Here is God's word, the Almighty God, and he talks to you. And every word in there is what God said. Remember what I said when you read the Ten Commandments, it begins, and God spake all these words saying. Yes, not just the Ten Commandments, but everything. But hand it to him and say, I hope you read it because it's the only way of salvation. Do you know that you're a sinner? And before they slam the door on you and maybe not even take the Bible, remind them first. But do it sweetly. Do it wonderfully. Do it tactfully. Because you're a message of the Lord who sweetly, lovingly went out of the way and went the third mile, which was not necessary. He was Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He didn't have to. He could have said, Peter, I can write you off. I can do without you. He can say that about any one of us if he so wanted to, but he doesn't want to because he loves us and he died for us. And so, just as to Peter, he said, go out and feed my flock. Go out and do the word. Neither is there salvation in any other. We read in Acts 4, 12 and 13, which Peter was able to say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they had been with Christ, that they believed. Can people see on you that you've been with Christ? You're with him this morning. Of course, you're with him each day when you belong to him. And that's the glorious thing. He won't let you walk also through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, the psalmist says. But he says that for you and for me, because our Lord and Savior is with us every step of the way. There are some people very happy because they have a good retirement, or they've put away hundreds of dollars, and they've been able to pay for the house and the car and a few other things, and they are sitting pretty. But they're just pretty close to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ. I thank you, congregation, that you're taking on the job. Don't think it's just a plain thing. It's more important than your everyday work. You're bringing God into the home. You're obeying what Jesus Christ tells you. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to speak for the Lord, because he gives the third chance. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but he does it. And he gives the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the tenth chance. Not that we should aim to do those things that are wrong, but realize, and regardless of what our past has been, he takes us in the arms as he would a little lamb that is lost, and brings you back into the fold so that you're with God's people. So that when that day of day comes and he returns, he'll say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the rest prepared for you." What a loving Lord we have. What a privilege it is for each one of us to speak for him. Do you do it? Do you know him? Are we talking about a Lord that you don't even know anything about? Oh, yes, you've heard his name. And in fact, maybe you may have even taken his name in vain. But do I really have to have it in my heart? Yes, if it's not in your heart, you don't have it. Scripture tells us this. And so if you truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, confess him and live for him, and yours will be the joy of eternal heaven instead of eternal hell. Because it's going to be one of the two. It's going to be one of the two. And God grant that it may be, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven, because you've heard his voice. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, that you go with us to the third mile. How wonderful it is, our Father, to know that you are the one that forgives all sins. And that regardless of how bad we may be, if we could even be worse than Peter, thou dost still take us. Bless thy people now. In Jesus' name, amen.
So great and love so true, thy heart's desire.
Thank you, Doolittles. I got to tell you something. My great hero was a pilot, and he was a general in the Air Force, Army Air Force at that time. His main name was General Doolittle, and I thought he was the greatest. Well, I think even more of his children's children, who again have sung today, and God bless you. Will you rise for the benediction? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. We are dismissed.